Turkey. Kennedy took missiles out of Turkey in order to get the Soviets out of Cuba, and now we got them back in there. And everybody's saying Putin's a bad guy. Meanwhile, we're pushing them right up against the wall.
Will Alice Slater, I want to thank you for being with us, New York director of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation. She is headed to Vienna for the conference, International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN, to see our conversation in Vienna a few weeks ago about this conference. You can go to democracynow.org. That does it for our program, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Sarah Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Malkoff, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. This is Democracy Now!
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Next up is the evening news.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Bike Craft Holiday Gift Fair, December 6th and 7th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. Now in its 10th year, the Bike Craft Holiday Gift Fair is a Portland holiday tradition that combines the love of bikes with support for unique, local, handmade goods. It's a great opportunity to grab a unique holiday gift for the bike lovers on your list while connecting with the Portland bike community. Again, Bike Craft Holiday Gift Fair runs from December 6th to 7th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Coming this Friday to the Song Circle, KBOO Community Radio welcomes esteemed singer-songwriter Jane Seabury, who in her more than 30-year career has garnered radio hits in her native Canada and a loyal fan following far beyond. Jane Seabury's in Portland to perform her holiday show, Holiday Hoes and Heroes. We'll talk to her about that and other recent artistic adventures, and she'll play some music live in studio on the KBOO piano. That's this Friday, 1:30 p.m. on the Song Circle, here on your community radio station, KBOO.
It's almost as if you could only crack the code, then you'd finally understand.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, open daily December 17th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade arts, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at Southwest Ankeny and NATO Parkway in Waterfront Park. Information at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, 83 people were arrested during protests in New York City over a grand jury's failure to indict the police officer who killed Eric Garner with an illegal chokehold.
An executive summary of the Senate Intelligence Committee's report on CIA torture will be released early next week, only without once using the word torture.
And the United States Congress is set to give 2,400 acres of Apache ancestral homeland in Arizona to a foreign mining company in a rider to the National Defense Authorization Act.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, December 4th, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Sari Gametta.
And I'm Robert Barnacord.
Yesterday, a grand jury decided not to indict Daniel Pantaleo, the white New York police officer who killed unarmed black man Eric Garner with an illegal chokehold last July. This decision marks the second time in less than 2 weeks that a grand jury has failed to indict a white police officer in the killing of an unarmed black man. The decision sparked protests across the country last night as thousands took to the streets and more than 80 people were arrested in New York City. In response to public outrage over recent police killings, President Obama has called for funding for police body cameras. Garner's death was caught on film, which has raised questions about the effectiveness of using video documentation as evidence in police misconduct cases. The man who videotaped Garner's killing, Ramzi Orta, was indicted on unrelated charges in August, making Orta the only person connected with the Eric Garner killing to face indictment. KABU's Meredith Cox spoke with Glenn Ford, executive editor of the Black Agenda Report, an online weekly publication and radio show, on his reaction to the grand jury decision.
So with the decision by the grand jury to not indict the officer who killed Eric Garner, what's your reaction to that, and if you were surprised?
No one should be surprised. I don't think many folks who are active in the movement were at all surprised. It would be a great surprise given how seldom police officers are indicted for the homicide of civilians, certainly of black civilians. These police killings occur with regularity. We don't know, in fact, how often they occur exactly, because the cities and counties do not uniformly send data to the FBI, but we do know that these are frequent occurrences, and what is infrequent is any punishment for the cops. Cops have impunity. That's what this movement is about.
And meanwhile, the man who filmed the incident was indicted by a separate grand jury.
That's right. So the only person to be indicted in the death or connected with the death of Mr. Garner is the person who documented the fact that he was killed by a police chokehold. That's American justice for you, and they see no irony in this. They don't see this as a kind of insult to the public, but that is certainly the way it's being taken.
President Obama has asked for funds to fund body cameras for police officers, but meanwhile we're seeing, you know, as I mentioned, the lack of indictment for even with video evidence in this case.
The entire country in the early 90s saw Rodney King beaten nearly to death by California policemen who were later acquitted by an all-white jury in California. Police are captured on video quite often, committing all kinds of crimes, but the criminal justice system is clearly not set up in to prosecute members of its own.
Do you think body cameras will be a step forward towards greater police accountability?
Oh, I suppose they couldn't hurt, although there are many folks who worry about the uses those cameras might be put to in terms of facial recognition and spying on the community.
Could you comment on the use of grand juries in investigating police misconduct? Is this a typical practice?
Yeah, as everybody by now knows, prosecutors can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. That's the cliche that now is universally known. But we also know that prosecutors may want to indict ham sandwiches, but they damn sure don't want to indict police officers. There are many things wrong with the grand jury system. The fact that the grand jury system in practice is useless in reining in police criminality is just another debit to put next to that institution, the grand jury.
In one of your new blog pieces, you wrote about the black mass incarceration state. I wonder if you could describe what you mean by this for our listeners, and then also how is this idea related to the killings of Michael Brown and Eric Garner?
The mass black incarceration state was created as a response to the victories of black folks and their allies in the 1960s, the victories of of the civil rights movement. With the fall of official legal apartheid, the powers that be found it necessary to put black folks in another kind of straitjacket that was nominally non-racial by criminalizing, essentially, the entire race. So we see, beginning in 1968 with the Law Enforcement Assistant Administration coming into existence under a bill that was signed by President Johnson, we see massive infusions of federal funds to local police departments, rapidly beefing them up, increasing manpower and weaponry, sometimes many fold in a very short period of time. And by 1970, we see incarceration rates going up dramatically. Over the last 40 years, the prison population in the United States has increased at least sevenfold. The ratio of non-white prisoners to white prisoners has reversed. Back in the early 60s, 70% of the prison population was white. Only 30% was non-white. Now it's the opposite. What happened to Michael Brown? What happened to Eric Garner? What happens to thousands of young black men on the street is a direct result of the establishment of this mass black incarceration state.
Thank you for talking with us, Glenn. I really appreciate your time, taking the time to speak with me here today.
Thousands of people are out in the streets of New York, Washington, D.C., Oakland, and other cities right now to protest the grand jury decision in the case of Eric Garner. Here's a clip from protests happening now in New York City.
I think the very large police helicopter over us,
well, we have way more people than last night.
This is at least 20, 30 times. I mean, I haven't seen this many people since, like, S-17, the first one.
Well, give me the second one.
This is a 5:30 rally.
Justice!
In Foley Square.
Now!
Over the course of an hour, it built
now!
Up to
justice!
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 to 5,000 people.
Justice!
And they are now marching west
now!
On Canal.
Justice!
In what is the largest protest march I've seen in years. They're pushing into the police line. They're pushing into the police line. They're pushing into the police line. They're pushing into the police line.
Those are the sounds of the thousands of people who are marching now in New York in response to the grand jury decision for the Eric Garner killing. Protesters have shut down bridges and tunnels around the city. Protesters in Washington, D.C. have shut down Highway 395. In Boston, protesters have taken over the Christmas tree lighting ceremony on the Boston Common. A rally and march is planned for Portland tonight at 6 p.m. at the Northeast Portland Police Precinct at 449 Northeast Emerson Street. The rally is happening in conjunction with the community forum and discussion hosted by Don't Shoot PDX at the Boys and Girls Club at 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard next to the police precinct. Cable will have live coverage from the forum later this hour, so be sure to stay tuned in so you don't miss it.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, and now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Jenka and Sam to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Sarika. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in to KBOO. And now it's time to make the extra step where you call one of my friends back here, whether you speak with Mike or Molly or Dan or any of the other folks who are waiting to take your calls at 877-500-5266 and pay your radio bill. That's right. You pay many bills for many utilities, for many things that you use day in, day out, all the time. You use KBOO because KBOO is here for you. Why don't you be here for KBOO and make that call, 877-500-5266. Perhaps you will be the lucky one who gets to speak with Alex when you make that call and to divert some of your wealth from the war machine of U.S. imperialism. I'd like to thank right now some folks who have already made that call. That's Sheila and Andrew, who are both new members from right here in Portland. And you know, that's significant, new members, because that's what we're focusing on this tiny little three-day drive between earlier this morning all the way through Saturday evening. We're trying to welcome 100 new members into the KBOO family, and I believe we have gotten 35 today, so there's just 65 Woo-hoo! More to go. It's time for you to knock that number down just a little more. 877-500-5266. You, my friend, right there, you are one of the thousands of people who listen every day but have never quite made that extra step. And now is the time. You know, 1 out of 10 people listening at any given time are likely to have made some contribution financially to KBOO's continued vitality, to its continued ability to bring you everything for which you depend on it.
The continuum of yes. KBOO. The ongoing, continuous broadcast of democracy on the airwaves. And we know that you support it. We want your support through a $10 a month contribution. If that's doable for you, give us a call right now. 877-500-5266. Show your support for the evening news and the fact that we're bringing you hard-hitting, really deep analysis every single day. You just heard Glenn Ford of the Black and Gender Report. You won't hear him on CNN for the most part. You will hear some other talking heads. But we go deep into the issues here, and it's all done by volunteers. So do support that. 877-500-5266. Back to the news.
The executive summary of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee's report on the Central Intelligence Agency's use of so-called enhanced interrogation techniques will be released early next week, according to Committee Chair Dianne Feinstein. However, despite being widely referred to as the CIA torture report, leaked information indicates that the summary will not include the word torture. The years-long investigation concluded with a 6,000-page report this summer, but the Senate and CIA have been arguing for months about what is to be included in the public version of the report. Next week's executive summary will be reportedly 600 pages, one-tenth the length of the actual report. It will also include redactions and cloudy language demanded by the CIA, according to the leaks. According to Bloomberg View, officials say that despite the lack of the word torture, the report describes treatment that any layman would recognize as torture, such as waterboarding, sleep deprivation, and stress positions, and concludes that this activity did not result in any information that could not have been obtained by non-coercive means. Senator Feinstein has said that despite the considerable redactions, the report found, quote, startling details about the CIA's covert actions in the war on terror, the lack of government oversight, and the role of other nations.
The House of Representatives voted yesterday to extend a tax credit for wind energy production through the year 2014. The tax credit is critical for the Danish wind turbine company Vestas American Wind Technology, whose North American headquarters are right here in Portland, Oregon. The tax credit could change while it goes through the Senate, where there has been some interest expressed in extending the credit for as long as 2 years into the future.
A report issued by the Portland-based think tank City Observatory shows that while gentrification is a prominent concern in cities across the country, most poor neighborhoods will stay that way. In fact, many once middle-class neighborhoods have fallen into concentrated poverty over the past 40 years. The report compares census data from 1970 and 2010. Nationwide, it found that for every high-poverty neighborhood that rebounded, 12 sank deeper into poverty. In Portland, the report found 8 high-poverty census tracts in 1970, which ballooned to 18 in 2010. The amount of people living in poverty in those tracts rose from around 7,600 to nearly 23,000 during those 40 years. For example, while the Sabin neighborhood has rebounded dramatically, its northern neighbor Vernon has seen the percentage of people living in poverty rise from 19 to 33% since the 70s. Only 3 U.S. cities, New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., have had real success in raising neighborhoods out of poverty. You can see the report, titles Lost in Place, at cityobservatory.org.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a member at any time during this program by simply calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Rose City Native Radio at 6. At 7, it's Ear to the Streets of Portland, with a special focus on the life and music of Tupac Shakur. Tomorrow's weather will be cloudy and cold with a high of about 49, a low of 43, and a strong chance of rain, at least in the evening. Today marks the 45th anniversary of the murder of Black Panther chairman Fred Hampton by the Chicago police. Hampton and fellow Panther Mark Clark were shot to death in their apartment on the west side of Chicago. Hampton was asleep in bed, having been drugged at dinner by FBI informant William O'Neill. Though the police, the government, and mainstream papers such as the Chicago Tribune claimed that the deaths were the result of a gunfight, an investigation by the Panthers, by journalists, and by the People's Law Office found that all but 2 of the bullet holes were fired into the apartment. The quote for today is from Fred Hampton. "Let me just say peace to you, if you're willing to fight for it."
It's 5:22, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell wanted to share his long-repressed feelings about a traumatic event. "It was," Mitch confided, "the worst day of my political life." Was it the day of the 9/11 attacks on America? No, much worse. It was the day 12 years ago when the McCain-Feingold law was approved by the Senate, imposing some limits on campaign donations by super-rich corporate interests. While the vast majority of Americans enthusiastically support such restrictions, Mitch is not one to be swayed by what the people want. So this June, he shared the shame he felt that fateful day at a group meeting in Southern California. It was a very sympathetic group. More than 100 right-wing billionaires convened by the Koch brothers to fund a plutocratic takeover of this year's congressional elections. McConnell was the featured act at the 3-day Coca-Palooza held at the posh St. Regis Monarch Bay Resort in Dana Point, and he titillated the elites with the changes that would result from a GOP takeover of the Senate. "For one thing," he exulted, "we're not going to be debating all those gosh darn proposals." "Like what, you ask?" "Like raising the minimum wage," explained the senator from Kentucky, a state with tens of thousands of minimum wage workers desperately needing a raise. Poor Mitch. For once, he was being honest, thinking his candor would not be heard outside this closed-door enclave of cokeheads. But oops, a recording was leaked to The Nation magazine, and now the voters of Kentucky are learning how put upon their nearly $200,000-a-year senator feels for just having to talk about those gosh-darn proposals to lift the roughly $15,000-a-year poverty pay of his minimum wage constituents. This is Jim Hightower saying, keep talking, Mitch. Such stuff is what makes politics the greatest show on earth. Or is it the funniest or saddest? You choose.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out at HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to a Membership Drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. And now it's your turn. Joining us now are Jenka and Sam to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Robert. The way that you can support KBOO Community Radio right now during this brief three-day membership drive is by picking up your phone and dialing 877-500-5266 to join this community of democracy, this community of a radio station that provides a forum here in your town, in your area, as a unique, free-of-charge broadcast news training center. KBOO Community Radio has always offered avenues to improve journalistic skills for our reporters. Every voice, every news anchor, every host you hear on the air is a volunteer, and yet able to provide a standard of professionalism, of accuracy, of deep, in-depth reporting that parallels, if not exceeds, those of the so-called professional news reporters in our town. That's done with your support. We're able to provide free training for our volunteers, and people then go out and produce these radio stories, these news interviews. We had just recently an investigative report, a six-month investigative study of the American Legislative Exchange Council and their role in the Oregon legislature, and how they are literally corporations writing legislation and submitting it to our state legislature. That's done with your support, and we're only able to remain independent because we have 6,000 people all giving us $50, $100, $200. You can be one of them right now and support this radio station. If you never become a member, there is no better time than now. 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka. I'm here with Sam.
I'm sorry, Jenka. Did you just say that the corporate usurpation of our state legislature was funded by the support of KBOO listeners?
The absolute opposite, Sam. In fact,
KBOO's investigation of the corporate usurpation of yes, exactly.
We're exposing it.
A little syntactic quibble, you know, totally out of character for me. But anyway, it's time for you, dear listener, to step up and make that happen. Make sure that the funding is there so that these experienced, seasoned volunteers can train up the next generation. That's what it's about. It's about each one teach one. Everyone's got something to teach. Everyone's got something to learn. And everyone's got something to give. And right now, what you've got to give is a few pennies, nickels, and dimes for each day of KBOO's broadcast. And you can make that happen with your call of support right now at 877-500-5266. That is the super secret code that when you enter it into your telephonic device will connect you with Alex or Mike or Molly or Dan, and you can tell them the amount of your radio bill and how you wish to pay it, whether that's going to be a few dollars a month, whether it's going to be a large payment lump sum all at once, whether we send you a bill, whether you have your credit card charged, whether you have your credit card charged once a month, however you want to do it. The point is that you get involved. You make that investment in community radio. What did you call it earlier? You called it an investment in
your own education.
There you go. We'll take that.
Your own knowledge base. It's a university on the airways.
Yes.
You know, maybe you're sitting in traffic. Maybe you're kicking yourself and saying, I should have taken public transportation. Why am I sitting in traffic today in this grim Portland day? Well, you can remedy that. You can pay it forward a little bit and say, you know what? It's okay. I'll take 3 minutes out of this fact that I've stuck myself in traffic, and I'll just give to my community radio station and make this whole experience worthwhile. The number to call 877-500-5266. Thank you so much to everyone who has given so far today. We are doing great. We are well on our way. There's so much going on here. This station, we're trying to build a new studio. We are trying to put together a mobile website. We've got a mobile, maybe you're listening on our mobile site, that we've got a bare bones one going already. We're trying to revamp our website. We're trying to put in all kinds of IT equipment so we can have our archives fully digitized. We have so much going on, and all of that costs money. So we need your support to move this station into the 21st and then the 22nd century. 877-500-5266.
Online at kboo.fm or in meat space, as they say, at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. And that's where we're going right now to bring you this locally produced, volunteer produced newscast. Call now.
reported incidents of sexual assault in the military rose by 8% over the past year, according to a report released today by the Department of Defense. The study also noted that the numbers of victims who came forward to report incidents increased by 50% from 2013 to 2014. The Department of Defense said this indicated a growing trust in military command. However, the report also noted that only about 1 in 4 victims reported assault. On top of that, 62% of female victims who came forward said they perceived some sort of retaliation for reporting assaults. That number has remained unchanged since 2012.
Congress is set to give away 2,400 acres, that's about 4 square miles, of Apache ancestral homeland in a national forest in Arizona. They're going to give it away to an Australian and English mining company. The provision to give away the Apache land was attached on the back of the National Defense Authorization Act, which was posted online in full only last night. The mining company, Resolution Copper, would receive land in the Tonto National Forest, which would include burial, medicinal, and ceremonial grounds that have been used by the Apaches for centuries. The land seizure stopped short of an area known as Apache Leap, from which Apache people jumped in order not to be killed by settlers in the 19th century. Chairman of the San Carlos Apache tribe, Terry Rambler, said that he was saddened by the proposal, but not surprised. He said, "Since time immemorial, people have gone there. That's part of our ancestral homeland." John McCain is reported to have been instrumental in assuring passage of the proposal. Also attached to the National Defense Authorization Act are other native land giveaways, including 70,000 acres of Sealaska land in Alaska and 1,600 acres of Yakima land in Washington State near the Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
In the latest news from U.S.-occupied Afghanistan, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani's administration expressed ongoing concerns yesterday about a border trench being built in the southern Pakistani province of Baluchistan. The trench is part of an effort to create a border barrier between the two countries, begun by former Pakistani President Parvez Musharraf in 2006, and so far extends around 250 kilometers along the so-called Durand Line. Pakistan says the barrier will help to control the flow of militants, drugs, arms, and ammunition from Afghanistan. Afghan officials see the trench as an attempt by Pakistan to preempt a long-standing border dispute that stretches back to the drawing of the border by British diplomat Mortimer Durand in 1893. Afghanistan does not recognize the Durand Line and accuses Pakistan of grabbing territory with the barrier. The Baluchi people who live along the trench are also opposed to it, since they have essentially disregarded the border for decades and many families own property on both sides. The trench has also sharpened the animosity between the two nations over the issue of fighting insurgents, with both sides accusing the other of allowing cross-border attacks. In related news, Reuters reports that Pakistani Taliban has been squeezed out of many villages in the remote tribal provinces by a combination of U.S. drone strikes and deteriorating relations with local tribes. Some leaders of the Pakistani Taliban had been based in Afghanistan's Kunar province, where locals banded together to drive them out with help from Afghan police in the past few weeks. The Taliban commanders themselves stated that recent drone strikes in Kunar have also played a role in driving them out, but since there is no complete public record of drone strikes in Afghanistan, these are difficult claims to corroborate. In other news, 77 Taliban insurgents were killed Wednesday in 2 separate operations conducted by Afghan security forces in Nangarhar and Helmand provinces. No Afghan army troops were killed in the operations, and the Taliban has yet to comment on them.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Thursday, December 4th, 2014. Israeli soldiers injured a Palestinian child at a West Bank checkpoint and opened fire at Palestinian fishermen in Gaza. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. On Thursday evening, Israeli soldiers shot and injured a Palestinian child who was trying to cross the Qalandia terminal north of the occupied Jerusalem, allegedly for carrying a knife and attempting to stab a soldier. Eyewitnesses told local news sources that the child, Yathrib Salah Rayyan, 14 years of age, from Beit Dukku village north of Jerusalem, was at least 30 meters away from the soldiers when they opened fire at her without warning. They said that Rayyan was shot by two live rounds and the soldiers also fired several gas bombs. She was walking towards the roadblock using a lane designated for cars, trucks and buses when the soldiers shot her. The soldiers then prevented the residents from approaching her to help her and placed the child in a military jeep before driving towards Jerusalem. Also in Beit Dukku village, a young Palestinian man was shot and injured in the lower part of his body after Israeli soldiers fired rounds of live ammunition at Palestinians protesting at the main village entrance. Local sources said that the Palestinians were protesting to demand that the army open the junction that the soldiers sealed with concrete blocks more than a week ago. In Jerusalem, the Wadi Hilwa Information Center in Silwan has reported Thursday that Israeli soldiers invaded the town and kidnapped 13 Palestinians, including an elderly man and his two sons. Moreover, Israeli settlers stormed Thursday morning the courtyards of Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem Old City through Mughrabi Gate amid tight security measures. No clashes were reported. In Gaza, a Palestinian fisherman was injured by fire from an Israeli naval boat while sailing offshore of Gaza City, according to witnesses. They said that an Israeli naval boat opened fire at a 23-year-old fisherman, Fakhr Abu Rayala, while he was sailing within the 6 nautical miles allowed fishing zone, seriously injuring him. Abu Rayala was transferred with serious wounds to a hospital for medical treatment, where he was set to undergo an emergency surgery. Local Palestinian sources notes that the Israeli Navy continues to target Palestinian fishermen sailing off the coasts of Gaza despite a ceasefire deal made on August 26 and which recently put to an end to the latest Israeli military aggression on the region. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, December 4th, 2014, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
And now we go live to KABU reporter Meredith Cox, who is at the scene of a community forum on police violence being held now at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club at 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Meredith, are you there?
Yeah, I am here, located up on MLK at the Boys and Girls Club. Things are just kind of getting warmed up here. People are filing in. There's a few dozen folks in attendance. And they're getting ready to start their forum.
Do you see any police present at this point?
I don't see any police present, no. But, you know, I should note that the police precinct, Northeast Police Precinct, is right next door to the Boys and Girls Club here. And they're actually hanging up a sign right now outside that says protest is not located at the Boys and Girls Club. So I'm thinking the organizers of this forum want to make sure that there are there are two separate events going on. One is this forum and one is I'm seeing some nods of affirmation. Yeah. So the rally itself that will be happening in half an hour, beginning at the police precinct, which is next door to the Boys and Girls Club.
I see. And what brought you out to this event tonight?
Well, it seems like this is the single most important issue happening in our country right now is the issue of police violence and police accountability. And, you know, here in Portland, we have a federal investigation into police misconduct of Portland police officers. And, you know, these discussions have been going on for a while now, but it's even more timely and important that the community is showing up for them.
Do you feel there are any parallels between the police killings in Ferguson and New York and then the situation here in Portland?
Oh, I mean, you know, absolutely. I think that the issue of police violence is happening across the country, and it's all stemming from the same core root causes that are leading to these violent deaths that we're seeing across the country, the same systemic injustice.
What do you think the community can do to take action and change the power dynamics?
Well, I think coming out and showing up and being seen, and for Black folks and people of color coming to the forum and being heard and having these discussions, and for white folks coming and listening and hearing what people of color have to say about their experience is a great way to get started.
And regarding the Justice Department, do you have any faith in the Justice Department's settlement with the City of Portland to deal with excessive use of force?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that, but, I mean, you know, I would like to say yes, but my gut is to say I'm not so sure.
Are there any other last remarks you'd like to share with us?
I hope to see people coming out tonight to the rally and the march at 6 p.m. and to this forum starting now, if you can.
Well, Meredith Cox, thanks so much for joining us here on KBOO News.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Meredith Cox live from a community forum on police violence at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club in Northeast Portland. You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Meredith Cox and Eric Tegetoff. The producer is Sam Bauman. You can find more national and international stories at their website, fsrn.org. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Sari Kametha.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday, on KBOO Radio at 7 a.m., it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, the hosts, Ani and Lynn, will speak with Shahid Buttar, Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, about the movement to end police brutality, profiling, and militarization, and mass incarceration here in the United States. At 9 a.m. on APA Compass, cancer surgeon and author Atul Gawande talks about his latest book, Being Mortal, Medicine and What Matters in the End. Also, CEO and author Eric Liu discusses the meaning of citizenship in the wake of the tragedies surrounding Ferguson. Then Elaine Cha, St. Louis community journalist, reflects on the events of Ferguson, and Liz Rogers will bring back Pop Watch. At 10 a.m., it'll be Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Jenka Soderberg will explore the film series Over-Criminalized, which looks at mental illness, homelessness, and drug addiction. She speaks with longtime homeless activist Paul Bowden, co-author of the new book, House Keys, Not Handcuffs, Homeless Organizing, Art, and Politics in San Francisco and Beyond.
And we are back. This is Sam. I'm here with Jenka, and this is KBOO's mini winter fund drive. We're looking for 100 new members to keep everything going, and we're looking And if you want to renew, do that too. Maybe you've already got your membership going and you know someone else who can't quite make that kind of a financial commitment, and but you can. So you can call right now, 877-500-5266. If there was some weirdness when you tried to call, call right back, 877-500-5266. We got Alex, we got Molly, we got Dan, we've got Mike, all folks here giving their time to make it easy for you to give your financial support to KBOO, to Community Radio, right here in Northwest Portland, Southwest Washington, throughout Cascadia and across the country and around the entire world. We're streaming online at kboo.fm. However you tune in, you know that this is a vital resource that you depend on. And KBOO depends on you, the listener, for its support. And that's what you do when you call 877-500-5266 with your pledge of financial support for community media. 877-500-5266. Make that step from passive listener to active supporter. It's easy, it's secure, and it's convenient.
You know, maybe you're out and about. You could stop by here at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th. Come on in out of the rain, get dried off, and we'll hook you up with a cup of coffee, a tour of the station, show you our digs here at 20 Southeast 8th. So come on down and see what KBOO's all about. See your community radio station at work and meet some of these great volunteers back here. And pretty soon you might find yourself as a part of this community. You'll be surprised how much different the radio sounds once you become a member. And you are an owner of this radio station, then it just sounds better. You know, here we don't fill up your newscast with ads. We are able to bring you this non-commercial newscast produced by volunteers in our Portland studios every single weekday. We do this only with your support. This is the way that we're able to continue to bring this to the airwaves, to the web stream. This is your chance. Make sure we don't get pushed off the air by the big capitalists. We know that times are hard. Everyone's short on money. Can you give a $500 gift? Think about it. It sounds like a lot, but it's less than $10 a week. Is that not worth it for hard-hitting, factual, accurate, independent news that you get here at KBOO? The number to call, 877